Hi there. This is Maurice Termel, and this is Rock My Soul Radio, connecting you with your source. Welcome to the inaugural event, the first launch of Rock My Soul Radio, and this is my very first radio broadcast as a host. We had a few technical difficulties there at the beginning while I was testing a headset that didn't seem to work out so well. And anyways, we returned to Old Faithful, the handset on the telephone, and we'll sort out those other problems at another time. As I said, my name is Maurice Termel. I'm your host. And let me tell you a bit about myself and what we're doing here this evening. Why I subtitle the show Connecting You with Your Source is because that's what this show is going to be about. And your source is that inner dynamic, that center, that heart center, the place where your passion and your strongest desires come from in terms of how you're going to express yourself in this life. I'll give you a little background into my story, and that'll set the stage for the kinds of things we're going to talk about. I've been exploring spiritual and psychological practices now for over 40 years, and I have come to the following conclusion. There are two main questions in life that you have to answer. And then there's a third point that is equally important as these questions. The two questions are, who am I and why am I here? In order to answer those questions, you must engage the next point, which is, you are 100% responsible for your life. That means no more whining, no more complaining. What comes into your life as per the law of attraction and other sources of explanation is what you bring to you. Now, things happen to all of us in childhood. We were damaged, we were hurt, we were traumatized, and we started creating assumptions about life based on those events, and those assumptions became beliefs. So we started to believe that certain types of people were dangerous or that the world itself was dangerous, and we started to adopt various survival patterns in order to get ourselves through life. Those were responses to things that happened to us. And the more we had to respond to unsavory circumstances, the more we built up defenses and blocks in order to keep the harmful or what we perceive to be harmful events and experiences away from ourselves. That's what we do, that's what we did, and that's what children do to survive. In order to connect with Source, we have to dismantle the defense mechanisms. We have to take them down and build up, we'll call it positive ego strength for now, the positive ego strength, which would not be the voice that tells you you're a loser or you're incapable of achieving things or you're never going to master whatever it is you're trying to master. That's your negative ego. Your positive ego is definitely interested in your well-being. And more so, its job is just mainly to protect you and to take care of you and to bring you through your early childhood and adolescence into adulthood as unscathed as possible, but that's only possible if there were not traumatic events in your childhood. Now, the reason we make this point about you are 100% responsible for your life is because of the following. You cannot make changes in your life if everyone else is to blame. If you feel like a victim and you perceive yourself as being victimized by circumstances outside yourself, then you have given away your power and you have lost the opportunity to make changes in your life. The reason we need to accept responsibility for ourselves is for exactly that purpose, so that we can make new choices, and one of those new choices will have to be to heal ourselves. So healing, and healing the way I talk about healing, is emotional healing. And emotional healing requires that we feel things that at some earlier point in our life we were quite successful in blocking. But now using our consciousness and our ability to view ourselves with some objectivity, we have to look at ourselves differently, and we need to dismantle those blocks and defense mechanisms that we needed or that we evolved to survive those critical events early on. You cannot grow unless you are 100% responsible for what is happening to you. So this rings true with topics like The Secret and the Law of Attraction. Like attracts like. If you feel that the world is a negative place and you can't trust people and you can't trust different ethnic groups, then you will continue to attract those experiences to you. You may have heard these kinds of statements from different sources in terms of spiritual development, like attracts like, and so negativity will attract negativity. So I was on earlier this evening with Nicole Whitney from News for the Soul Radio, and we were answering questions from people all around the world. And many of those questions came back to this very point about, you know, I feel like I'm very conscious or living consciously, but somehow all this negative stuff keeps coming into my life. Well, we had to turn these things around and put the question back to the person in this form. What is it that you are doing or holding on to that is attracting this negativity into your life? When you phrase the question in that fashion, from the point of view that you're going to take responsibility for what's happening to you, then you've set yourself up to be able to make a choice for change. Without being able to make that choice, you continue to feel like a victim, and victims do not prosper. They just go from person to person with their litany of complaints, and that's how they live their lives. They're not going to grow, they're not going to evolve, they're not going to become the whole person they can be. If you're listening to this show and shows like this that are here on BBS and other places, then you've made at least one choice to move yourself in a positive direction. You have decided that you want to grow. 42 years ago, that's exactly what I did. I was 20 years old. I had just come home from the Navy, and I was completely confused. I had no idea who I was or where I was going, and I reached for my very first self-help book, and it was called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale, and that book is still a bestseller today. It put me on the road of reaching for materials, for information, and for experiences that would help me to grow. And my life has been about personal and spiritual growth ever since. Now, the spiritual part didn't come till later, because I certainly wasn't ready for it at that time. But the psychological side, it was more than willing to get started, and so we started consuming these types of books. And through the 70s, there were all kinds of things going on. There were books like I'm Okay, You're Okay, The Games People Play, and then moving on into the 80s, The Road Less Traveled, several books by Shirley MacLaine, recovery books by John Bradshaw, Melody Beattie, and on and on. And lots of these folks showed up on Oprah and have been showing up on Oprah, including Dr. Phil, and that's how he got there. So what's important about this? The fact that you choose a path of growth is going to attract to you opportunities for growth. And back in the 70s, there was the, and it may still be there, but I think of it in the past, the Esalen Institute, which is on the west coast of California, up near San Francisco, I believe, or north of San Francisco, Big Sur, California. And it was the hotbed of personal growth and evolution as it was understood and being practiced at that time. So there were all kinds of gurus and shamans and people wearing robes and exhibiting funny behavior and believing in strange things, certainly things that we Westerners were not accustomed to, and they were quite strange to us. But in and amongst those people, there were a few gems that actually spoke a language and delivered ideas that we could understand and begin to embrace. And for me, that was all very exciting. And I picked up on that and I pursued that. And there's lots of growth centers around the world now, and I'm sure if you did a search on the net on Google for growth centers, there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of them with, you know, whoever their master guru is. Getting back to what this show is about, this is about connecting you with your source. Because bottom line for me, that's been the most important lesson. I've tried many, many things, and at this point, I'm not so interested in trying all kinds of different practices anymore. I am more focused on what's working for me in terms of connecting me to my own soul and opening up. So every day I make this practice about being 100% responsible for my thoughts and feelings, and I have to answer questions about how I'm blocking myself and how I'm keeping myself from certain realizations, or why I'm hanging on to some old comfortable defense mechanism or block when I know from the growth perspective that I need to let it go. I just need to let it go. And growth is about letting go of a lot of things. Now, here's an example we can all relate to. We all went through childhood into adolescence and then young adulthood. During those years, your growth, my growth, was driven by the physiological changes. And our minds were growing in proportion with those physiological changes, and we were grasping concepts at school and through other information sources, and our bodies were growing on their own as they were designed to do. And when we reached adolescence, the hormones started percolating and all kinds of new things started waking up, like sexual desire and new experiences, physiological, physical experiences. And we had to deal with them somehow. Now, we probably, most of us, dealt with these things by talking to each other and by learning from each other. And many of us heard and believed, at least for a little while, some very scary stories about what was happening to our bodies. None of them were true, of course. But, we grappled with these things until we understood for ourselves what was happening with our bodies and what the changes were that we were going through. And if we had positive, supportive parents, then they would have explained these things to us and they would have helped us along with this process. Now, many of us didn't have that, and we were taught, literally or not, to repress these kinds of feelings. And repression is the beginning of the defense process. And we used repression then, like when someone would say, oh, I hear you broke up with your girlfriend, and you would respond, or I would respond, oh, well, it doesn't bother me, knowing very well that it bothered us enormously, but we wanted to be cool, and we wanted to be in control, and we didn't want to show our hurt and our pain. Healing is about touching that hurt and pain. Healing is about working through that so that those wounds are actually healed, and therefore they are no longer an obstacle to you connecting with your source. That's the point of healing. I've referred to my generation and the generation of my children. I'm 62 now. My children are in their 30s, and I have grandchildren. And I've referred to us as the healing generation. And I would say that most boomers would fit into that category, because it's been since the 50s and 60s that all this material has come forth in terms of helping us deal with various events in our life and bringing out into the open topics like sexual abuse and physical abuse and the great variety of traumas and problems that children go through, but that were hidden because they were wrapped in shame. And it's people like John Bradshaw who, through his work and his guest appearances on the Oprah Show, started talking to us about shame and about how we needed to dismantle that. And that opened the door for people who were abused in all kinds of ways to begin talking about it and to begin healing that process. Now, I know a lot about this because I was a practicing psychologist for 25 years, and I helped a lot of people work through those issues. Initially, most of the abuse victims that I saw were women, but eventually the men started to come forth. And try and imagine the shame that men would feel when they had to talk about sexual abuse. It was even more potent for them, more difficult. But once they did, then that monster no longer haunted them. And that's true for any trauma or any hidden pain that you're carrying, including perhaps like the loss of a loved one who you haven't properly or fully grieved. And that could go back to 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, maybe longer. The thing with emotions and feelings is that if they are not accepted, felt, and worked through, they will stay there and they will pop up occasionally and it'll be like it all happened just yesterday. Time does not heal emotional wounds. Addressing emotional wounds, expressing what they are telling you, seeing a therapist, writing it out in a journal, doing it more openly in a group process, that will help you heal those wounds. So healing wounds is a big part of this process of accessing our inner guidance. We can't get to that. We can't. It's like interference on a telephone line. We can't get to that if we can't hear it. And if we can see what's preventing us from hearing it, and this resonates with connecting with our source, if we can see it and deal with it, then we will take it down and it will no longer bother us. You've seen this with children, like when they come running in the house and they're trying to hold back their tears, and that you could see that the stress in their face and the pain in their eyes. As soon as you get them to talk about it, and they may talk and be sobbing as they do, but as they talk about what Billy or Johnny or Betty did to them, they are expressing their hurt and their pain, and at the end of that, they're calm again. It's out. And it's not going to bother them the next day or the day after. There'll be other things for them to deal with. It's when we start repressing these things that we start building up an inventory of unexpressed muck, emotional muck. And that will hurt us. That will hurt you in the process of your evolution and reaching for your spiritual heights, your purpose in life, and your full potential. So my expertise is in marrying the psychological with the spiritual. When the spiritual came along for me, I was already a practicing psychologist, and I was bound by certain rules and regulations, and most certainly the governing authorities of my profession were not interested in hearing about spiritual matters. There were a few curious persons, especially those who quite liked Carl Jung. He certainly opened the door to those practices for the profession, but he was looked upon as a maverick and someone who was a bit out there, more than a bit out there, and quite spacey. Where most psychologists wanted to see themselves as part of a solid science, and they wanted measurable things that they could document just like the other sciences do, and you can't do much documenting on the spiritual dimension of things, not in the forms that those sciences require. So what we had in my profession, and I discovered this along the way, was a lot of closet spiritual practitioners. They didn't talk about it in front of the organization, they just did it. And they did it with like-minded clients, patients who came in, and that became a part of what their healing requirements were. So that allowed them to move into that direction because the healing that was required was of a spiritual nature. So today I don't owe any allegiance to any organization. I speak for myself. I see the value in both the psychological and the spiritual. I find it quite easy to marry the two, to bring them together, and to not only to find the common ground, but to show how the two support each other and how the two strengthen each other. The more I know about my personality, about what shapes a person in this lifetime, in this human form, the more I understand about that, the more I can bring in the spiritual component and blend the two together successfully. That's what I've learned over the last, I would say the last 15 years since the spiritual side of things has come to the forefront. And it's been very satisfying and very happy for me. It certainly makes me happy today, and more I can talk about this openly, whereas I wouldn't and chose not to while I was still in practice. So for myself, this radio show and the kinds of books I write and the music that I write and perform, it's all about coming out of the closet. And I have some weird inkling that this might be something that a gay person goes through. And I have a little experience with that since my eldest daughter is a gay woman, and it took her 36 years to come to that conclusion and to be open and forthright about it. But for all those years, she was struggling with who she was. Back to those first two questions: who am I and why am I here? And again, I am, you are 100% responsible for your life. Now that will serve as an introduction. I want to move to another topic now. And if you've got pen and paper with you, then bring them into view so that you can use them. And let's answer the following questions. What's positive about your life right now? What's working for you right now? Now, earlier we were talking about the healing process, and therefore we were talking about dealing with the negative effects of early experiences on our life. Another way to support our growth, to foster it and nurture it, is the old adage of count your blessings. What's positive about your life and what's working for you right now? Make yourself a list. Jot things down. No complaining in this list. Jot things down. What's working for you right now? Now, if you're of a mind to do this, I'm going to go to my email account at my BraveNet webmail account. And I'm going to give you that address. And if you feel like sending an email while we move towards the second half of this show, please do so. And here's the email address: info@rockmysoulradio.com. That's info@rockmysoulradio.com. So I'll be watching the screen. If something pops up, we'll have a look and see how it fits in with what we're talking about. Expressing appreciation. What's working? What's what's positive and beneficial to you right now. Since you began your journey, since you got onto your path, your particular growth path, what has turned up, what has been some of the benefits, or what are some of the benefits of the journey you've been taking? What have you gained? Make that list. And keep that piece of paper near you for the next little while, maybe the next day or so, and just jot things down. Then periodically remind yourself of what's working. Let's go back to the secret for a minute and the law of attraction. Like attracts like. And as my friend Nicole Whitney on News for the Soul says, what you focus on expands. So let's focus on some positives. Let me share a few that have been going on in my life. As an example, because we are here to help you connect with your source. But the best example I have is what's going on with me and what I've learned. And I'm more than happy to share that with you as an example of how certain things can unfold in your life and what you can do to address them and to make them work for you. So at this point, I would say that the most positive things that are going on for me are family related and friends. Friends of my wife and I and our granddaughter moving into our home have been blessings in our life most recently. We moved into a new house a year ago, and it's in a cul-de-sac at Dead End Street, and we are surrounded by wonderful, kind neighbors. These are not people without problems. They have issues, and they address them with each other, and they share them with each other. But for the most part, it's a very positive life in this environment. There's nobody yelling or throwing stones at each other. People are good listeners here, and we practice good listening skills ourselves. And so what's been growing for me and for our family is the love component, the love side of life. Now, I grew up in a family where there were six of us, and our father resolved issues with his belt. You got out of line, you got whipped. There was no talking to us. There was no processing of information and learning how to make a better decision. You got whacked, and you tried to avoid the belt as best you could, but most of the time you couldn't. So what did I learn? You can probably guess that the world is a dangerous place, and to keep your mouth shut and keep your thoughts to yourself. And most certainly, the anger that would come up in me towards my father for that behavior would be something I would have to repress. Because if I charged him, he would have beaten me to a pulp. So there was no point in doing that. And so there's an example of repression. Now, I've dismantled most of that, and my father and I are friends today. We don't talk about that part because I don't think he would understand those dynamics. But I can see that he loves me, and he can see that I love him, and I'm not holding any grudges anymore. So there's love even coming from that direction, which 15 years ago I would have assured you was not possible. But there it is. 2 years ago, I was asked at a New Year's party what was going to be my New Year's resolution. And my New Year's resolution was, and still is, to make more friends. Since I've made that resolution, that is exactly what's been happening. I've met more people, and they are positive people. I do some career counseling consulting, and I am always surprised at the kind of folks that come through here, come through my office to discuss their career aspirations with me, and how unique and wonderful and delightful they are. And so I count them among my friends. Now, they may be friends through this particular part of my profession, but they are friends nevertheless. Who are the new friends in your life? Who's there now that you really value and that you feel you are capable of opening up to and sharing yourself with? Who would that be? you count those people, think about them and their names, and I'm sure you'll come up with several of them. Now, a couple of other questions. On your life journey, where are you now and where do you want to be? What is that goal on the next horizon? Where do you want to go? Now, most of you or many of you will know about goals. You'll know that when you set a goal, it becomes a target that you aim for. In childhood, you would set a goal to acquire certain things, or later on to pursue a certain type of education. You would get a calendar from the university or school that you wanted to go to. You would obtain something that would become an image of the goal, and that goal would be embedded in the image, and sooner or later you would get to it. Now, you may have a string of abandoned goals along the way, but look at the ones that you've achieved. They didn't just happen. You focused on them. You made them a priority. Connecting with Source can be that priority for you at this stage of your development. Connecting with Source is your opportunity to unfold in a whole different way. It is truly unfolding from the inside out. Source, your Source, is where your passions are. It's where the strongest feelings of love exist for you, for people and for opportunities and for contributions that you can make to the world. That's your Source. Now, Source will communicate with you in a lot of different ways. We see this on television with, it's usually a policeman or a cop show or these new NCIS's or CSI shows, and somebody's got a hunch. Well, what's a hunch? A hunch is a feeling. And where do feelings come from? Feelings come from our heart center. Now, another way to say that this person trusts his hunches is to say that this person trusts him or herself. They trust their self. Now, let me make a distinction here for you. The self is not the ego. The self, yourself, is the true center of the personality. And it comes up later in life, as Carl Jung taught us. The self doesn't usually show up as a center of activity and direction in our life until we're in our mid to late 30s, early 40s. It certainly is true that younger people have come into contact with that spiritual essence and expressed it. But for the most part, there's this evolutionary process. It's true for all of us, and we grow to that point. But those of us on the spiritual path, we get there sooner because we have made our personal growth a priority, a goal, a target. We have made evolving ourselves and becoming the best person we can be a true destination for this lifetime, so that we can express what it is that we came here to express. We are all here to express something. And what you have to express creatively or in whatever form it's going to take is yours alone. It is absolutely unique. And if you don't get to it and deliver it to the world, then the world will have to do without it, because no one can do that for you. What you have to give the world is yours to give. Those are the gifts that you came here with, and your job as a person who is engaged in his or her own personal evolution is to connect with that source and express those gifts. That's what you're here to do. So let me help you answer a part of those two questions that I put out earlier. Who am I and why am I here? You've seen the books now, and you've probably heard some talk shows about life purpose. Well, there's a variety of ways to get there, and I'm sure there's hundreds of books on the subject. the way I approach it and the way that makes the most sense to me is to connect with Source. Why? Because connecting with your Source means you have your own direct access to the Divine Pie. And the Divine Pie is going to tell you what you are here to do. I'm not going to tell you. Your neighbor's not going to tell you. No one, your parents, religious leaders, no one can tell you, but Source can. So if I say to you, believe in yourself and believe in your Source, you have a choice. You can take what I say and adapt it and make it part of your life, or you can reject it. But who are you rejecting? Me? No, you're rejecting yourself. So you either accept yourself and move towards yourself, or you keep fishing in the outside world, in the so-called real world, for answers to your inner questions. They will never be answered out there. I can tell you that now. And no new hairdos or changing your hair color or fancy suits, anything external or that car is going to change that. But things like that can become an expression of how good you feel about yourself. In other words, change how you feel about yourself, and you're especially moving from the negative to the positive. Your outer circumstances will change too. You will want to treat yourself better. Now, let's look at that equation in the reverse. If you strongly believe that if you had money, then you would be a worthy person, and you found ways to get money, then you would be able to tie the two together. In other words, as long as money was flowing in, then you could continue to believe that you were a good person. But what happens when the money stops, when the money fails, and you're back to square one because something happened and, you know, your stocks went AWOL? What happens now? Well, the person who believes in themselves still believes in themselves. But the person who believes in themselves on condition that the money keeps flowing can no longer support that belief because they used money as testimony to their value. Whereas the person who believes in themselves has value whether there's money present or not. They always have value. And whatever they lost is going to be replaced in some other fashion because they still are positive about who they are and have a positive sense of who they are. And they are developing themselves from the inside out. This is the reason to connect with Source. Source is your own library. It is your own set of conditions and bits of information that you need to make your life work for you. And if you are 100% responsible for your life, then you are responsible for connecting with Source. It's there waiting. It's like a channel in the ethers that you have to tune into. And by you tune into it through your feelings, your heart center, and your feeling nature. That's how you get to it. And it will speak to you. And when you start paying attention to it, you will notice that you've already been getting those messages. Now you're going to start recognizing these so-called hunches or these bits of inspiration that you've been receiving as messages from your Source, directing you to go here, to try that, or to be at a certain place at a certain time. And all of a sudden, you know, these cosmic coincidences start to happen and you're with the right person or you're in the right circumstance or the right job comes along. You've been listening and you've been moving in the direction that Source is urging you. Writers, old and new, refer to it as that still small voice. Many, many writers use that phrase. Inspired writers throughout the centuries have used that phrase. Or they have called it the muse, when the muse visits. That is the source of the greatest of creativity in our lives. you know, great creative geniuses are connected there, but they may be emotionally immature. So they can be geniuses with music or with painting or with other things, but if they're not emotionally mature, they're not really a happy person, and they can make a lot of people around them miserable. But a happy person, a person who is emotionally mature, who has healed wounds, and who has moved in the direction of their best interests with the care and concern for their fellow man, their creativity is on granite. It is set in a rock. It will not be toppled. And they're exhibiting a positive and supportive attitude towards their fellow man, and they know that they are no better than and no less than anyone else. So that's self and soul. Self as the center of the personality, soul as the flip side of that coin and our connection to the divine. How am I doing so far? Are you getting some of this? Is this helping? You're going to let me know via email. You can write to me, as I said, at info@rockmysoulradio.com and let me know what you think of what we're talking about here tonight. I'm going to move on to some other things. I'm going to talk to you about our feeling states. And let's just get a little clarity on that. What would it be like to have a life without feeling? Would it be possible to enjoy anything at all? Could one be happy or sad without a feeling state? This would seem impossible to me. Feelings are our lifeblood. They fuel the energy that we create with. Feelings tell us about our state of being, happiness or sadness, and everything in between. Feelings drive us, they can unnerve us, they can move us into action. We are our feelings at every stage of our life. And here's an interesting point about feelings. People like to think that they can change their thinking, and that their thinking is somehow independent of feeling. In actual fact, feelings drive the way we think, and buried feelings especially. So, buried feelings, let's say, about being traumatized in childhood or not being able to trust certain types of people, will drive thinking processes that will result in thoughts like, you know, you can't trust this group, you can't trust that group, you can't trust these folks at all. That will be the result of feelings or thoughts interpreting what feelings are telling them, or those particular feelings. We are our feelings from moment to moment. But we need to understand our feelings. We need to know, for example, that if we lie, that will likely make us feel guilty. So we have a choice. In this simple example, to lie or not to lie, and then suffer the consequences as a result. But the truth, in some cases, brings its own pain. Is that a reason to lie? I don't think so. Is that a reason to tell the truth? I would think so. What is the truth about your own feeling nature? Are you truly happy? Are there any little boogeymen down there that you've been running away from? What is the truth about your feeling nature? Ask yourself that. Write that question on a piece of paper. And just let the random thoughts come and answer that question. And you will learn things about yourself. This is a very good way to learn more about your inner life. Use a process called journaling. And journaling means writing things down. And so you pose questions. When I'm stuck on something and I want to know, you know, what's going on, why am I agitated now, and then I just take pen to paper and it starts to come out. But I'll pose questions. The first question is, what am I feeling? Not why I'm feeling it, and not any roundabout story about what you're feeling, but what am I feeling? So is it anger, hurt, pain, anxiety? And oftentimes we are anxious because we are about to feel something we don't want to feel, or we are about to become aware of something that we would have preferred to have kept buried. I saw this over and over again in my counseling office when people were coming in touch with some deep-rooted problem. The anxiety would rise because the anxiety was coming from this component I call the protective self that didn't want him to be hurt with the awareness of this particular trauma or how it had impacted them emotionally. So, anxiety would arise. But very often, just like that child who comes in the house crying and, you know, sucking in their breath and trying to hold it back, as soon as they release it, the anxiety subsides, the emotions come out, and for them, it's expressing them to mom or dad or sister or whoever is listening to them. And then all the energy behind those feelings comes forward and doesn't harm them anymore. And the tears go away and they're relieved. They're healed of that particular hurt. This is the action of feelings within us. And the action or the results and consequences of dismantling defenses. So that's a little bit about feelings. There are other feelings, of course, like hurt and anger and joy and happiness and delight. And if we go back to what I asked you to do earlier, what's positive about your life, what's working for you right now, then you're going to have a lot of positive expressions of feeling. Now, I want to talk to you about my book. And, of course, this is going to be a pitch for you to purchase it, but only if what I tell you about it connects with you at some level. My latest book, I have two, but my latest book is called The Voice, A Metaphor for Personal Development. I actually wrote this book probably 11 or 12 years ago, and it just sat as a manuscript in the back of the cupboard because I really didn't know what to do with it. I really didn't know where to take it, and I've since been learning that if you write a book, it has your energy in it, and if you are not at a state where that book can be released in terms of your own growth, then the book won't be released, or the information won't be released. So you have to evolve to a certain state, even though you've created this great thing or you've received this great thing, it's not ready to be passed around until your own energy is a match for it. So 12 years later, I have finally been able to publish it and put myself into it, as I said. And so let me tell you about it. It's a story. It's a fictional story, but it is all about connecting with Source. And the fictional story is a sci-fi adventure. People are picked up on Earth by spaceships from this particular star constellation, and they all have this knowing that this event is coming. And so when they're picked up, they're surprised but not surprised. And then they're informed about what this is, what is going to happen and what the journey ahead is, and that they're being taken to this particular star, this particular planet, where there is a very special school that will teach them about connecting to the voice, ergo the title of the book, The Voice. And they're going to learn to connect with the voice, that is, hear the voice from within themselves, or as I've been explaining about connecting with Source from within, then that's going to be their education. And so they travel, and on the journey out, they are instructed by the pilot instructor who has picked them up on some basics, and some of those basics are some of the topics I was talking to you about earlier in terms of victim feeling and dealing with issues and internal cleansing, healing, all of that, so that the channel from which source emerges becomes absolutely clear. And then they arrive at the planet and they go through that educational program. So the book details that story, what they learn, what their frustrations are, and they're not unlike the kinds of things that we deal with here, right here in our own earthly life, in order to pursue our own growth and our personal evolution. So that's what the story is about. And I'll read you from the back cover the description. It is widely understood that there is a vast field of knowledge referred to as cosmic consciousness. It contains all the glowing yet heart-wrenching facts about life, love, and purpose, including every human's participation in this ever-expanding wisdom. Through circumstances previously set up on the spirit side, the Great Creator requests that selected volunteers be picked up from Earth by his personally trained instructors and transported to his cosmic education center on planet Rapture. Here, these students are exposed to what is essential to understand about the many challenges a soul faces on the earth plane, about connecting to their true selves, and about activating that divine pulse within, the voice. It's about connecting them to their source. Coming to terms with this vast array of personal growth issues is a must before these novices can be returned to Earth to assist their fellow humans in their growth challenges. So, that begs the question, now that we're doing this radio show, are you, the listeners, part of this army that is destined to grow and evolve to get to a point where you can turn around and help others who are coming up the path? Because remember, this book is a metaphor. It's a book of instructions. It's also a call, a rallying call to those who are engaged in these processes and are about to click into their own internal resources and be in a position to help others do the same. That is what I am doing here with this radio show, and that's what I've been doing with my music and with these books. Now, what's this all about? The training proves to be the necessary prelude for a much anticipated and desired shift in consciousness due for their home planet. There's already a lot of talk about that, from the Mayan calendar to other things referring to changes in vibration and upcoming changes in global consciousness. There is a shift coming. This rigorous and demanding program, referring back to the schooling of our students, prepares them for that purpose by guiding them through a process that reveals itself as the next way for all humans. And that process is called conscious evolution. What is conscious evolution? It's when you take charge of your life, when you take responsibility for your life, when you answer the questions I put forth at the beginning of this broadcast, who am I and why am I here? That's conscious evolution. Every step you take in your personal growth, every book you read, every class you attend, every workshop, every seminar, everything you do takes you closer to that goal. But I want you to know that the goal is within you. The outside experiences are to help you connect with your own source. That's what they're there for. So at some point, you're not going to need so much external expertise, as you are going to be receiving your instruction directly from source. That's what the students in this book are learning, about hearing that. And towards the end of the book, they get an opportunity to practice that and, you know, try out their chops on a group of individuals who are ready for that kind of training. And one final thing. Actually, it's time to wrap up here. So I'll save that for another time. On Rock My Soul Radio, it's not always going to be so serious as it is tonight. I like to have fun. There will be music and there will be guests. Since this was our first broadcast, I thought you needed to get acquainted with me and have some sense of who I am and what it is I'm bringing to the table, so that you can know for yourself if this is the kind of information that you want, if this is an opportunity that you want to be tuned into, if this is something that resonates with you. So we're going to wrap the show up now, and I would like you to come and visit the website, www.rockmysoulradio.com, and visit our little store there. The book The Voice is there, as there are some e-books and some downloadable guided meditations and some music. And for the next 12 hours, for the first 21 people who order the book in the next 12 hours, I am going to include a free CD, the first CD that I recorded a few years ago, called Let It Begin, which is a collection of spiritual, inspirational music in the rocking blues vein.